Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. You know, some time ago, I dropped my wallet. I'd gone to a washroom somewhere and it fell out of my trouser and fell there. So I went to the place and told them that because they checked the cameras and saw somebody had got in after me. And of course the person said he didn't find anything. The wallet had quite an amount of money, especially for people who work in that place. It had some money in dollars, like quite an amount of dollars, by the way, and also an amount of... So I told the guys that, you know, I told them that don't worry about the money. Whoever picked the wallet can keep the money. Just give me my cards, my bank cards and my national ID and so on, which were in there, driving permit and so on, because I was reluctant to go through the process of getting those things again. So they called me and said somebody had picked it somewhere. Of course, not that same place, because anyway, that's not the story. The story is I got the wallet. And so ordinarily, I would be thinking, well, now what happened is that I noticed something was different about, you know, I've taught some of you to be sensitive about certain things, about especially about money. I noticed something was different. It wasn't about the money I'd lost. It is money I can very well afford to lose. You understand? Okay? It's even money I can give away. But something was different. Something was different. So I prayed about it. I said, I prayed about it. Then the Lord showed me the guy who had taken the wallet not only wanted the money, but he was also using witchcraft to try and steal my blessings. So now, ordinarily, what I do, I just cancel it and leave it and let it pass. But this time, I felt something different. This time, I felt a certain anger, and I felt a need to actually speak judgment upon him. So now, I spoke a curse on him. He's never going to have any money in his life again. Now, if you understand how uncomfortable that makes me feel, you see, eh? Because all the while when people do weird things, you might see me here talking about it, but I never handle them in that way because people are trying to survive and all that. But now I felt this is the time for people like that to suffer judgment. So I didn't just, ordinarily I would just undo what he was trying to do. Very easy. Like, this is very basic. I would just undo what they were trying to do. And then let them be. But now I'm not letting them be. I did not let them be. Okay? And he's going to realize that what he thought was going to be a blessing for whatever is going to turn out to be a very bad curse for him. And that is going to be the story of 2026. Now, because there's people who God puts in our lives. I don't know if God puts them there, but there are people who are in our lives. They never really believe what you believe, but they want to be among you. And they cause a lot of havoc, and they really are very vicious people. Because they can do all sorts of things, they cause a lot of havoc. Some things we don't even talk about, okay? There are things we do not talk about, that we see that they try plan to do. Amen? For example, there are times when they've tried to poison this water of mine, which I drink. I know it, and I know it. And I know the person who has done it, but just let it pass. Because I'm not going to die. There is nothing you can do to make me die. Okay? There is nothing you can do to make me die. Nothing. Not you, not anybody. So you'll put poison. And I know. There was a time I was really thirsty, and I was led. I came, I wanted to drink. The Lord told me, don't touch it. So, and I was thirsty, I could have drunk. Like today, I'm going to drink. Amen? But I just let it pass. But now you see somebody who puts poison in here. If he was to have his way once you did, but you, if you were to pass such judgment on him, your mercy, you say, no, I can't. Now you want me to die? I have young children. I have what? Like, you're a very wicked person. You see, eh? You're a very wicked person. But now, we are going past that. We are going to the time if you want something for me, it is not going to happen. It is going to happen to you. And not just me. The children of God. Now, because after that, something else happened. Something similar. And now also, I would have taken the other thing of, like, just let it pass. Just, sort it and let it pass. But still I felt led. No. The time for those people runs out. There is that scripture which was telling, Akena showed me. It's in, I think, which says that God put some people so that he teaches the children of Israel how to fight. It's in, I think, Judges chapter 3, where God leaves some of the people who are going to eventually be destroyed, but he leaves them in the land to teach the children of Israel how to fight. But then their end is destruction. As soon as they've taught people how to fight, then the end is destruction. So now if you're those people who have been like that, your lessons you were supposed to teach us are what? Are over. Now next is destruction. And I'm telling you because I'm telling you because the Lord has told me this. It is not going to be the same thing as before. And today I'm even going to speak for a short time because there is a lot of productions. And I wish the message would have been sweeter and nicer. But that's just the way it is. Now, judgment has to come at some. Because there are people who are mad. We know them. They are not one of us. They are here to try and do this. And you look at them and say, why don't you get a life? Find something to do. But they are there. And the people even who send them don't even give them any reward. But they have to be among you to destabilize you, And we've been through that, by the way, a lot. We've been through that quite a bit. But now you're going to see judgment of the wicked, because they are wicked. And we are going to see judgment on them. Go to Daniel chapter 5, verse. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the golden statue that had been made by Nebuchadnezzar, there are people who made it their work to go and report to the king that these captives of Judah whom you brought here, they do not regard you and neither do they worship your gods. And then that's their work because there is infighting among the people who are supposed to be the leaders in Babylon. And they see the favor of God is upon these Hebrew boys. So they have to fight them. Now in Daniel chapter 3, when they went and reported to the king, and the whole thing played out and Shadrach, were thrown in fire and so on, and they came out, there was no repercussion for the people who went and reported. None. So that's how, now these people who do these things, they work under the presumption that for them they are safe. So they will try and then it fails, then they will keep quiet. Then they will try again, then it fails, then they will keep quiet. Then they will try again, then it fails. But now you try again and you'll see. I'm telling you, you try again. You want me dead? Let's see who is going to die. There is nothing that you can do to make me die. Nothing. Not you, not anybody, not even your boss who sends you. Nobody can make me die. Amen? By the way, nobody can make you die. I've told you before there was a time I was on the deathbed, but I could not die. The devil had to come and negotiate with me. Please die. I'm telling you the honest truth. Honest truth. And you know what he was telling me? He was telling me, just give up. Within a short time, you'll be in a mansion in heaven and what? Like painting a picture. Can you imagine the devil painting a picture of heaven for you? Because he wants you to go. Because he doesn't want. He knows there's something God wants to do in you. So he wants you to go. Just give up. But if I said, go away, I'm still here. I still have work to do. And the minute I said that, even my body started adjusting. You cannot die unless you choose to. Amen? Because you have work to do, you see. You have work to do. There was a comic of some comedians who used to be on TV. And some guy whom they tried to kill and he survived. And he said, Onzitotia, sina byakora. So, you know, he says, Infantia, sina byakora. Now, there is a truth to it. You only die when you have nothing to do. Amen? And now that is also my... anyway, but I will not go there. But my point is this. Now, judgment. Now, you see, the first time they come report these boys, then the king tries to destroy, kill the boys. It doesn't work. Then the king declares that, your God is, you know, supreme and all that. Then they come and do it again. Daniel 6:19. Now in a different kingdom, a different reign, the reign of Darius, the Mede, 6:19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. You know this story, Daniel in the den of lions. Go ahead, verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Go ahead. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Go ahead. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. But that's not the end of the story. Go ahead. Then the king gave command that they brought all those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. These words are not here for nothing. Their children and their wives, not just them. So if you're stupid, your children are going to suffer. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Go ahead. Then Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. You see, there are certain people who have to first get away for there to be peace. Because they are agitators. King, the other guy is not worshiping. This one is not worshiping. They are always agitating, trying to get... Now, some of them have to suffer judgment so that we have peace. Because for all this year, there has been a lot of things which you look and say, but man, what's wrong with it? Like, why don't you just... There are so many options you have. You see? Peace be multiplied to you. Go ahead. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end. Go ahead. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Next verse. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Daniel and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persians. Now, if it's going to take certain people to get out of the way for you to prosper, you see, that has always been the case, you see. It has always been the case. People will always think that they can stand in the way. And the thing about them, they want to have 1 foot here and 1 foot here. So they are 1 foot here and 1 foot here. On the one hand, they are part of you. On the other hand, they are not part of you. And they think they are sharp. Now they are going to be exposed. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. Because they don't consider the danger that they can cause through the things that they do. Praise the Lord. Now, this time, because we are going into, as I told you before, this coming year is going to be a year of stepping out. And we are going to step out. And we are going to prosper like Daniel did in the reign of Darius. We are going to prosper. Because you see, these men, when Nebuchadnezzar was king, they are the ones accusing. Then when another king comes, they come, they say, now Nebuchadnezzar dies, now it's our time for what? Let's try again. So until they are taken out of the way, there's not going to be any real progress. So they are thrown with their wives and children and what? And they are eaten by the lions. In other words, the fate that they wanted for Daniel, they are the ones who faced it. Now that is what is going to be. Because people have become very brazen in their attempt to get at people who are just serving God. Somebody is just serving God. If you want to serve the devil, go and serve him in peace. Okay? If you want to belong to another fellowship which meets on Thursday, go there. Leave us alone. Because let's see if that fake apostle of yours is going to rescue you from my word if I say it. Because you see, these are words which you cannot say it, and because you're thinking about the person. So you're saying, man, now how can I? So even the people who have hurt me the most, I am restrained in the way I handle them. Until the Lord says that now, don't just let it happen, because it's going to continue. So just have to end it once and for all. So if you are loyal to a certain fake guy who meets on Thursday, go there. Otherwise, you're going to die from here. You go there and stay there. Here we are serious about serving God, not putting up appearances. And now we've worked a certain glory which is going to be. We are entering into a time where the scriptures, you see, there are certain things which you cannot, there are scriptures which you cannot understand until you leave them. That's why it's important to step out there and things happen to you in the field, because you read the Bible and read the Bible until one thing happens and then a scripture comes to life. Life, all these stories that you read of Joseph and what and all that, everybody has to be there. Like, you have to walk those stories. And the amazing bit about the Bible, everything that man is going to encounter is in that book. Like, the Spirit of God knew everything and put it in that book and put it there. There is no story that you are going to come across which is not mirrored somehow in the scriptures. None whatsoever. So now, are we ready to actually step out and go and do serious things for God? Not just being here and listening to the word of God and listening. You see, there is also a time for listening, parking and listening and listening and listening. But after some time, you have to step out and go and start believing God in your own life. The first thing, and I've told this before, some people, for instance, if you're still staying in your parents' house or somebody's house, you haven't started, unless it's your husband's house. You haven't started. You have to step out, because there is the blessing of the house. You never know what you are capable of until you are in your own house. That's if you're of age. Please do not misunderstand me. You might be a student and you still need to be under your parents' house, but until you are in your own house, that's where the blessings come to you. Jacob told Laban that now let me go and bless my own house, because my blessings have helped you to become rich. Now let me go and use my blessings to become rich myself. You cannot become rich yourself using your blessings when you're under somebody's house. He will benefit from you, you will not. And sometimes the house can even mean a company, if God is leading you to start your own. And that place is prospering because of your blessings. And it's time for you to step out and go and receive the full benefit of your blessings. And then that's when you start having a real experience of the word of God. You have your ups, your downs, and you're being taught by God step by step. Some of it might even be your own ministry or something like that, anything. But where you step out and you really have to learn how to now navigate your own thing. Because you can sit there and listen and listen and listen. And at the end of the day, next year, at this time, you're still listening and nothing is happening because you're scared of what is outside. You do not have any idea what to expect when you step outside there. So now the time for us to step out and do powerful things is now. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. By the way, let me tell you, the judgment is, you know what the scripture says? Judgment is coming to the world, but it has to first come to the house of God. That's what the Bible says. Judgment starts in the house of God. The scripture says that, and then it extends out there. So the blessing also starts here and eventually affects the whole, everybody. So make sure that you're here for blessing and not for judgment, because the blessing starts here as well. And you might think it's the same thing you're used to, you know, but when you step out, if you step out, you'll see how God is with you. Praise the Lord. You will see how God is with you. When you find yourself doing things which you never thought you were capable of doing. You did not think you were capable of doing. And the only thing that you had to do is step out. Because you've been having this idea, you want to do this. And some people are experts at having ideas. Until you step out and then you see the wind of heaven blowing in your direction. And things falling in place. And people coming and, you know, coming around you. Adding people who are going to add value to you. And suddenly you start becoming. You believe in yourself. Because you see, don't think that the Lord doesn't understand that you do not have, you might be scared, a bit timid. Because you've not, the place you've gone, the scripture says that the place where I'm taking you, you've never been before. You see, eh? So there are places where you've not been, and he knows you've not been there. So he has to guide you all the way through your timidity, through your, you know, fear that something is fearing what would happen if I fail and all that. So, but then he's with you. Then you step out. The one thing he's not going to do for you is step out. But once you step out, everything else starts falling in place. And you have a word on you. You have a prophetic word on you. You have something bathed in you, which needs for you to step out and is calling for you to step out. And now, not just that, people who cross your path to destroy you end up suffering the judgment that they themselves wanted for you. The fate that they had desired for you, they get it themselves. Previously, the worst thing that could happen to them is that they don't succeed in bringing you down, but they are okay. Nothing happens to them. I tried to bring you down, it did not work, but me, I'm fine. No, this time it will not. He tries to bring you down, he gets down himself. Anyway, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. So in other words, you don't need raw material or capital. What? Just sing out for joy. Now is the time to move out, to step out. And now, how can there be more children of a barren than of a married woman? How is that possible? In the Lord, it's possible. You see? Then he says in verse 2, now this is very important, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now this is just go with a big mind. Enlarge the place of your tent. Do not spare. Do not say that, you know, according to the resources that I have. Just go. Don't think about the resources that you have. Because let me tell you now, tell you this now as a Bible prophecy teacher. The time that was prophesied about for the church rising and being at the top it has to happen. You see, eh? First of all, you have to, no, it's not that there is no speculation. It has to happen. Amen? And you are the people who God is looking at. There is no other people. It's you. Praise the Lord. Now you can only limit him by refusing to step out. But when you step out, then you are the person who the whole of heaven is looking at to go and make something happen. So you step out and then you realize that all along God was in there. You'll never know it until you step out to do something. You will never know it. There are scriptures which you shall never know. There are times when I've been in tight situations and the Lord tells me a word which I know in the Bible. You know it's there in the Bible. I even know where it is. But when he tells it to you at that point, it's as if you've never heard it. It's fresh because you are in the thick of it. You understand? It's totally different from what you read in the Bible. You've read. Then you step out there and then you are maybe in a one place and God comes and gives you a word which you know. And then you say, you know, I'm glad that I'm in this place because now I know this. And now this is... So he says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Now for some people, actually, this tent might actually be your actual house. Maybe it's time to what? To step out. To get out. But maybe it's time for you to get out of your car house, which you are used to. And I know this. Sometimes people can really have issues with this because I've been with people who you see them, and let me talk about myself, where you clearly developing, but your mindset is stuck to a certain place where you're comfortable. I remember it happened to be some place where I used to stay in Kambacha, very convenient. There's a place where I used to watch football, very nearby, where I used to buy my Chica Commando. It was a few, you know, a short distance away from, like, it was just power, like, I didn't need anything else. It was just possible. But I was growing. But I said, now, why should I leave this place? Even, you know, when you're a bachelor like that, one of the biggest issues you have is clothes. So I even had a dobby where there were all my, even my clothes would be. You know those things. You don't know, some of you have grown up, you know what? You know, where you go and dress up from the dobby. So, your life is good. But now, like, you're not going anywhere with that good life. Now, a friend of mine came to visit me. Then he said, don't you think it's time for you to leave this place? And when he was saying it, I knew he was right. But I'm saying, now where do I go? Where the dobby is here? Where the what? The car, you know, those things. Like, you have your life all figured out in one place. Now, God cannot do anything for you like that. He can't. You're finished. Like, he has to first get you away from there. So, that's when I was attacked at night. One night, I was there sleeping. I hear people opening the car gate. Then I look, I see a guy coming with a gun. With dogs. Now I say, which kind of thieves come with dogs? Now, when I had the gate, I was in the sitting room watching a movie. So I ran to the bedroom where I could see the car gate and where the light was off. So I could, and the security light outside was on. So I could see into the compound, but of course he couldn't see me because I was in the dark. So I went there and pulled the car curtain like this and watched. Then I saw dogs coming in. But now, you know, dogs. The dog came right straight to the window where I was. Then I knew now. I knew now I'm in trouble. Now, I panicked because I was seeing the guy had the gun. So I called my landlord, who stays nearby, and he was a soldier. He is. He's still alive. He's a soldier. So I called him. And now, interestingly, he had a landline which he used to keep at his bedside. So, and so as soon as I called the landline, he picked at the second call. So I told him, man, I'm in serious trouble. People have entered my gate. And he told me, are they petty thieves? Or maybe they have just come. Do you leave anything? I was saying, no, these ones are not petty. These ones have a gun. He said, are you sure? Then he hung up. The next thing I knew, I was hearing bullets. I was hearing bullets. Now, it turns out that it was because they expected that I was going to call the landlord, and they knew the landlord was a canoe or something. Canoe brigade or something like that. The canoe, I think. So they stood where he would come out of his house if he was to come to rescue me. So they stood there and they were facing there. I knew because it had rained and I could see their footprints in the morning. So what the canoe, because these guys are trained, he passed another route like this, came out of his house another way. I don't know what they would have done if he had come out of there. I didn't want to imagine. But unfortunately, now this is the sad part. Unfortunately, when he came and shot to scare them away, the bullet went through these metallic, you know, doors of one of my neighbors and killed a young girl. And she died instantly. They didn't even notice she had died because the bullet went through and went through her head, came out and entered her shoulder, something like that. So people came out and, you know, there was all this ruckus. What happened? So when they finished, they went back to sleep. Then when they went back to sleep, the kids woke up and told the mother that this person has urinated on bed. They didn't know it was blood. So that was the sad part. Anyway, all because I did not move when I should have moved. No, the truth is, so when my friend heard about the story, who had told me, he told me, I told you, I knew it. He told me, you're not yet, you're past that level now. That house was good at a certain time. That was the last night I slept in that house. But now it was forced on me, yet actually, I could have gone without all that trouble, without the fear. Let me tell you something. I spent like almost a year scared of sleeping on the ground floor, because every time I would be sleeping, I would imagine a guy with a gun coming. So even when I moved from there, I went to Bugorobi Flats, and I was on the up flat. And I could have avoided all of that by just moving when the Lord wanted me to. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I just told you that story to tell you that enlarge the place of your tent. You think it does not matter, but there is a certain place in your life you cannot go to, and there's certain things around you have changed. They could be friends. They could be company. They could be... And all these things happen for a reason. There's a place... You know, if all men need... we call them man clubs. Eh? Where you go and sit with some people and jazz all sorts of things. With, you know, like... So there's a... I used to work at New Vision. And there's a place I used to go and sit and eat some junk food and drink coffee. And would be there and talk. But then one day I realized, I looked at the people whom I was with. I know God does these things. I look at the people. I'm telling you these stories for a reason, by the way. One day, I looked at the things people say and the things that matter to people and their kabozi. And you know, that thing affects you. Don't fool yourself. So one day, there was a gentleman who was one of our friends. He had studied in America. He went back to America. Then the people who were there said, he's lying, he's not in America. I said, why do you think he's not in America? The guy had called me from America. And now in those days, it wasn't calling with using, you know, WhatsApp or what internet. It was actually calling using a phone, the line. So I could see he had called me with an American number. So I said, he's in America. They said, no, he's not in America. So I said, why do you think he's not in America? They say he was deported from America. I said, who told you he was deported in America? And then the guy, the reasoning, what they told me, this opened my eyes to the kind of people I was dealing with. The guy told me that, he's not in America. Can you also go again there? No, come on. So in their mind, The only reason he was deported is because for them, they think you cannot go to America and come back. But I knew this guy. His family is very rich. He doesn't need anything in America. He went there to study. He was in university and he came back. So I said, what kind of people are these I'm dealing with? So one day I just woke up. Same thing. I finished work. I went there. I sat with them. Then I had their kabozi and heard what they were saying. Then I made up my mind immediately that this is not my crowd. So I jumped in my car and drove and went home, and I never stepped there again. Now, there are some tough decisions you have to make. Now, it took me a while to get another man club, where people whom you can jazz with. Because sometimes you need to talk football, what, you know, those things. Eh? And and you're used to these people. I'd been with them almost 3 years, almost every day with them. So, but I just decided, this is not my group. And I woke up and went. Now, the cost, the price of developing yourself is like that. Sometimes you have to cut people off and say, I am past this house. If I listen to that man, the guy told me, Va o ano, this was good for you at some stage, but it is no longer good. Find a better place. It took tribulation and the death of a young girl for me to leave. Praise the Lord. By the way, it has taken so many things. Huh? So many things. So many things. All throughout my life, I knew that there was something God wanted me to do, which was special. All throughout my life. And every time I felt that I was getting off, God had a way of cutting me off people. And then you realize that's the best thing that happened to you. So, now, here is what you have to learn. Enlarge the place of your tent. Your tent can be your mind, especially your mind. Just enlarge your mind. Start thinking bigger. Think of yourself as some great person who God is doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God was to, you are God's constituency on earth. The church is God's constituency on earth. Anything that he's going to do, he's going to do it through you. There is no other person. He's not going to do it through you or anybody. It's going to be through the church. And that church is you. So now don't stand in the way of God by trying to have your limited life and, you know, plotting your thing like this, and you think you're comfortable the way I was there. You know, this is where I go to. I get this. I can get everything I want. There's like a supermarket there where I don't have to have money. I can pay them later. There is what, you know, and you exchange greatness for simple comfort. Amen? Amen? So somebody tells you, come and pash at my house. Say no, let me go and look for mine. Even if it is the worst, because you go and start with yours. And then you start from there. And then you see how you're going to grow. Very important. Because somebody who is under your house, your roof, you have authority over them. You have authority over them. If you come under authority, to good or bad, as long as somebody is under your roof, you have authority over them. Good or bad. I remember hearing a story of listening to Kenneth Hagin saying how there was a pastor who used to come and preach at his church, but the pastor had diabetes. So he would come and, you know, measure his blood sugar and do that injection and so on. So when he came, as long as he was preaching at the church of Kenneth Hagin, he was staying in his house. So Kenneth Hagin told him, as long as you're in my house, your blood sugar is going to be normal and stable. You are not going to need an injection. And the man, for 2 weeks of the seminar, the sugar was normal and stable. But as soon as he leaves this house, he goes to his own house, he's back to his own what? He's back to injections. That's how powerful the house is. Now, any other way, somebody's faith cannot get you healing. Now, somebody's curse can get you somewhere. Somebody is doing certain things, and you're there, and you're not going to be an independent, the owner of the house. That's why Joshua says, as for me and my house, because he has authority over his what? His house. Praise the Lord. So now, if I'm saying this because some people might. So first of all, get enlarge the place of your dwelling. This is going to be the enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Expand. I need a bigger, you know, something. Praise the Lord. Something bigger. Now you say that this is okay for me. If that's okay for you, then maybe you're ready to die and go to heaven. Because as long as we're on earth, if you're not developing, you're retrogressing. Like, either you're stepping out for something bigger or you're losing even the little you have. I'm telling you, that's how the Spirit works. If you're not growing, you're diminishing. There is no two ways. There is no stagnation. What you call stagnation is actually diminishing. So every time you step out and say that, you know, but the only way you are going to retain, to keep what you've worked for, is by going to work for more and try to get more. That's how the Spirit works. I'll give you an example. If you start pursuing, you know, a spiritual life and going in the Spirit, and you start getting certain things in the Spirit, the minute you stop, you are in serious trouble. You have to continue. It is a continuum. Because you start by here, then you can expand. And that's how you live. And that's how you must get accustomed to living. You only stop expanding when you die and go to heaven. But otherwise, as long as you're here, just get used that this year, if I am here, next year I have to be something bigger. That's how God created everything. Isn't it? A tree which is here is going to be bigger next year, isn't it? So a baby who is here is going to be bigger next year, aren't they? So why aren't you growing? That is the nature of everything God created. It has to expand. It has to grow. That's what shows it has life. The life of God is in it. It has to grow. The minute it stops growing, it doesn't have any life. So now it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Do not think of yourself as, this is my means. This is all I have. This is, you know. Don't spare. Think of yourself as somebody who is provided for by God, not by yourself. See where the scripture says that? His sufficiency. Eh? His sufficiency, not ours. According to his riches in glory, not ours. So think of yourself in that regard and start expanding your imagination, expanding your expectation, and make sure you enter with an enlarged mindset in 2026. Then shall you see. The scripture says, open your mouth and I will feed it. Amen? It says, open your mouth and what? Yeah. The one thing God is not going to do is open it. Some of you expect him to come and do it as if you are giving a baby medicine. No. You have to open your own mouth. He says, you open your mouth. He says, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will feed it. Praise the Lord. Don't just open it. Open it what? Wide and I will feed it. Now he's not going to open it for you. But if you open it, he's going to feed it. Praise the Lord. Eh? That's a wonderful thing. Now next year, open up your mind. Get a bigger place which is going to put you under pressure to buy more furniture. Eh? And a bigger whatever. You understand? Eh? Get a bigger car where you not ask that a new idea. Some guy told me he went to buy. There's a certain car he likes. Eh? So he went to, you know, to get it. It's a really huge SUV. So he goes there. So the guy takes him around. You know, he's huge, you know, six something and has a good size. So somebody who looks money. So he reaches there, they take him around, they give him all the catalog, he looks through and what. So, like, you know, everybody is attending to him because this is a potential client. Then he went and asked. Then he went and asked a new ATA. Then the man just took the catalog away from him and said that the people who buy these cars don't ask questions like that. And now, also, he felt weird because now there is no way you can be. Now, get a car which is going to put you under pressure. Get out of those things of what? Can you imagine everybody had come to show you all the things, show you know it even does this, it does that, and you're there shaking your head, and they think you're just going to sign a check. Then you ask such a question. Then everybody just walks away and leaves you there. They know you're a joke. Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, me have finished preaching. Now, let's just, I know there are going to be presentations, but I just want to speak a blessing on each and everyone for next year before I step down. Who is this now? Eh? Whose baby is this? Come for it. What's wrong with him or her? What's wrong?
He's suffering from squints.
From what?
Squints.
What are squints? Eh?
The eye problem.
Eh. Hey, the eyes are in daddy.
Yeah, one leg's one.
Where is she? He's a boy.
Yeah.
Whose kid is he? Is your brother?
Yeah. No, my brother's son.
Is your brother's son? Okay. What's his name?
Heaven.
Heaven? His name is Heaven. Amen. There are no squints in heaven. Praise the Lord. Hey, so let us pray for. It's called
heaven.
Sorry. So let's pray for heaven. Lift up your hands and towards him, and just imagine his eyes looking straight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we rearrange those eyes and they look straight and proper. Heaven's eyes are straightened, and normalized in the name of Jesus. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Okay, it's okay. It's well with heaven. And who is this?
She's my mother.
Your mother? What's she suffering from?
Diabetes.
Where is she?
She's at home.
Where? At home where?
There in Zambia.
Where?
Zambia.
Zambia? Why doesn't she come and we pray for her? She's what?
She's from Moab.
She does not believe in.
She,
does she believe in healing? Where does she come? She's here in Zambia. We're in Zambia. But anyway, we'll pray for her. Let's intercede for her. She's called?
Oliver.
Oliver. You point towards her. Let's pray for her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that diabetes from Oliver. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ touches Oliver and settles everything to do with her body. In Jesus' name, settles her pancreas. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that's it. So stand up and let's just have a blessing before the kids come in. In the name of Jesus. Stand up, everybody. what's your problem?
The lady whose mother was having cervical cancer, but the lady was fighting me. I've not been coming, but at the moment, she's, could I say, undergoing recession. Like, she's finished her radiation days, and she's to go back for review sometime in March.
For cervical cancer?
Yes.
What is recession?
Okay, like that stage where they have given you the treatment and you're now just, your body is now recovering because those rays, they make you small.
Did you bring her picture here? Because first, I don't know what recession is, first with no healing. That is too much English. Our level of English stops at healing. So this is...
This one is from when she's going back. This was the dismissal, just formalizing when she started, when she completed.
So what do you want me to pray for? Just testify. Okay. Let her receive her full healing in Jesus' name. Full, complete healing. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We just thank God for 2025. I know it's been a tough year and, you know, you've been through it. But just thank God for him because you're here, you're strong, you're healthy. So thank God that, you know, you've gone through this year in just a few minutes, one or 2 minutes. Just lift up your voice and thank him. You sing that song which you sang here. Thanks, we give you thanks for all you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this year that has been. We thank you, Father, for the times you've spoken to us, spoken through us. We thank you in the name of Jesus for your blessing and for your strength. We thank you for all, for divine health and for everything. We give you praise, Father. We thank you, Father, that you who has brought us through this year and who has provided for us every single day in the name of Jesus. We thank you because we are looking at a big year in the name of Jesus. So I speak a blessing upon each and every person here in the name of Jesus. Receive a blessing for the next year. Receive a blessing that multiplies in the name of Jesus. Receive new channels opening up for you. In the name of Jesus, new people coming into your life, in Jesus' name, new people coming into your life that add value and that take you to the next stage, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're timid, I pray for strength to stand out and do strong things and powerful things. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.